We're going to look at this final value, prayer without ceasing. But I want to remind you of two things before I go any further. Firstly, I have said at the beginning and throughout that these values are not in a particular order. They're not in a linear list. We don't start with love without borders. Then when we've sort of got that sorted, we then move on to sharing without fear. And then once we've got that, we then move on to seeking with passion. And then if we have time, we'll finish with prayer without ceasing. That's not how it works. If you were paying attention throughout the sermon series, you'll have noticed that with each of the values, the other values were also mentioned, and prayer particularly so. That like a good punchline to a joke or a good reveal of a magic trick, it was all in the setup. It was to be predicted. Going back right to the first week when I talked about love without borders, I emphasized that in order to love like God loves, we should pray without ceasing. That we should pray all the time, that we are to be transformed into his likeness in order to grow into that love. Michelle talked about how she's trying to love without borders, but she needs prayer. Hannah, last week, when she was talking about seeking with passion, asked for prayer, that prayer was part of it. So this isn't the final value, the one that we get to last. It is, like all the others, interconnected. It's a network of values. You can start at whichever value you like, and that value is connected to all the others, and we go through the journey and explore and grow in all of them as we grow in one of them. So that's the first thing I want to remind us of. The second thing I want to remind us of is that these values didn't come from nowhere. There was a process, and that process was to help us to articulate what it is that we value, the things that we prioritize, the things that we think are important. And so where we found these values is from our experience and the benefit that we have felt from a relationship with God. So we value love without borders because that is how we've experienced God's love. We value sharing without fear because that is how we've experienced God's sharing. We value seeking with passion because that is how we've experienced God seeking us and finding us. And when we get to prayer, I would be telling a lie if I was to say that we as a congregation articulated quite clearly that we value prayer because we've experienced God praying without ceasing. Because that's a complicated thing to think about. One of our congregation just last week asked me the following question. How can Jesus pray to God if he is God himself? It's a very intelligent question. To be honest, trying to answer it had me stumped. I tried to not get into Trinitarian theology, partly because this congregation member was 6 years old. But I tried my best. I think I failed. I do need to just go and look at it a bit more and maybe seek a bit further to try and understand that slightly more. But I do want to talk about it because our reading today from Romans indicated that Jesus intercedes for us. The Spirit intercedes on our behalf with groans beyond our words. Hebrews 7 talks about Jesus interceding on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. In John's Gospel, he takes up several chapters of Jesus praying for us before his crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus intercedes for us. What does that mean? How might we learn the value of prayer by appreciating that God prays for us, for you and for me? How might that spark our passion for prayer, knowing that we have benefited from the prayers of Jesus himself? How might we learn how to pray from how Jesus prays for us continually? So I want to split this sermon into two. I'm going to start by talking about intercession itself, and then I'm going to pause, I'm going to invite us to do some intercessions to which Sarah's going to lead us. And then the second part of the sermon is going to look about how we pray without ceasing. So just a short thing about intercession. You will not be surprised that I'm going to break up that word and tell you where it comes from. Ned does etymology. What a surprise. Intercession. Intercede. Two words making up one. First bit, inter, meaning between. Seed comes from the Latin sedere, which means to go. To intercede is to be a go-between. Jesus intercedes, he is a go-between for us and the Father. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I often think there's a bit of distortion in the communication between me and God. I feel it particularly when I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to hear what God is saying. I'm not absolutely convinced I can hear him perfectly. There's always a bit of fuzz on the line. Often that distortion has come about because of my own sin, my own brokenness, my own mixed motives of my heart. I can't guarantee that I've got a purity of heart to hear God. And so I've got to take that into account, but I don't know where that impacts the communication. And so listening to God is quite tricky because of sin. And me talking and my requests to God or my conversation with God, I know as I'm saying stuff, it might seem a bit garbled because I've got mixed motives and I'm not clear as to what I'm wanting or what I desire. And Romans articulates that. When we don't know what to pray or we can't find the words or we're stumbling through it all, that's when the Spirit comes in and goes between us and God. It's a translation role. It's able to be an advocate, to be able to say, I know this person, this is what they mean. And for Jesus to say to us, I know who God is, and this is what he means. He is a go-between. He intercedes, he stands between that gap to bridge that relationship so that we can talk to God plainly and hear him plainly, because Jesus has revealed God's heart, has revealed who God is to us, and therefore we know better what God is like because of Jesus and his go-between role. He continues to do that for us. There's an apocryphal story which I've told before, but it's worth repeating. It's a story of a soldier during the Civil War in the United States of America. This soldier wanted to go back home, having fought for his country. Wanted to go back home to sort out the family business so that it didn't collapse, so that his mum and his sisters could eat and survive. But he needed permission of the president in order to step down from the military. And so he goes to the Capitol and goes to the White House and walks up to the front doors and requests an audience with the president. To which the guards say, no, he's far too busy. No, he's too busy. Go away, go and sort it out yourself. So this man walks down the path and sits at a bench and starts to cry. And a small boy approaches him and asks him, why are you crying? The man tells him the story, and this boy says, oh, follow me. So this boy leads this Civil War soldier up the path, and they turn off just before they get to the front door. They turn off and they go round to the back, to a back door. And the boy opens up the door and walks through the corridors and past really important people. All the time, the doors are being opened and opened and opened as this boy leads this man up to the Oval Office and, without even knocking, opens the door. And there, stood before them, is Abraham Lincoln with some very important people talking about some very important business. And Abraham Lincoln goes, son, what is it that we can do for you? And the boy says, Dad, this man wants to talk to you. Will you listen? And Abraham listens and grants him his request. That son is Jesus for us. We don't need to bang on the door. We don't need to ask permission. But because of Jesus, He is our go-between. He leads us into the presence of God in order that we can pray. And when we can't, or when we don't want to, or when we feel inadequate, the Son still goes to the Father and asks on our behalf. He is the one who intercedes for us because he understands what it means to be human. He understands the pain and the sorrow of this life. He understands the joys and the celebrations of this life. And he is able to bring that in his humanity into the presence of God. And he does it for you and for me. So what might it mean for us to intercede for others? There are many people who feel unable to step into the presence of God, to speak to him and to hear from him. In those times and in those places, we are called to follow in Jesus' footsteps and to be a go-between, to be a person who bridges the gap, who translates the pain and the sorrow into words that the Father will know. And we do it with the Spirit's help and alongside Jesus. And we are called to intercede for our world, to listen to God and to hear what he has to say to this world, and then to tell the world and translate that so that they know what God wants to say to this world. We are intercessors. We are intercessors in pastoral ministry, but we are intercessors in mission and evangelism. It is an intercessory role that we take part in. I don't know about you, but I often have people say to me, "Will you pray for me?" And they'll tell me what they want to pray for. And I often say to them, "You do know you can pray yourself." To which many of them say, "No." Why do they say no? They say no because they don't have the courage to step into the presence of God. And they don't think they have the words. And so on that basis, I am happy to pray for them. Happy to take it and to pray. Often I pray in their presence so that they know that it's easy to communicate because Jesus is interceding for us and the Spirit can do the translation activity that needed in order for God to understand if he needs any help at all. But I do want to claim upon them that they have all that they need in order to pray. At Feast, when we talked about prayer, which you can listen to online if you want to, I named two things which are absolute basics in order to pray. The first basic thing that you need is a belief that God might exist. Not that he does, but that he might exist. The second thing that you need is, if that God might exist, that God might also be willing to listen. If you can believe those two things, that God might exist and that he might want to listen, then you are able to pray. Because Jesus does the rest. When people ask me to pray for them, they must believe that God exists, because otherwise, why are they asking me to pray? And they must be able to believe that God is willing to listen to someone, even if it's just me, but that they're able to talk and communicate to God through me. In which case, they can pray themselves. But I am happy to help. I'm happy to be the go-between, and we should all be happy to do that intercessory role. There are some people who are unable to pray, even if they believe that God might exist and God might be able to listen. And those people are the people of which I am and have been a member. Those people who don't have words, who maybe are too angry to step into the presence of God, maybe are just too broken to do it. Or maybe people who are unable to even contemplate prayer. Maybe those who suffer with dementia or memory loss. maybe those who suffer with other mental health issues. We can intercede for them. We can step in and be a go-between so that they can have a relationship with God. And at that time and in their weakness, we have to do it on their behalf, but it is an important role to hold them in the presence of God, who cares for them and delights in them and desires to be in relationship with them. Are we willing to intercede on their behalf? So we're going to lead in intercession. I'm going to invite Sarah to come up and to lead us as we intercede for our world and for a particular part of our world, to intercede and to invite God into those situations on behalf of those who don't have the words or the relationship in order to do it. So, Sarah. So if we value prayer without ceasing, how then do we do it? It's difficult, even for me, whose job it is ultimately to get paid to do it, paid to pray. The difficulty I find is that there are lots of times when it is difficult to pray. Not only difficult to pray when things get tough and you don't have the words, and it's difficult to then trust and know how to engage in the Spirit praying for us and Jesus interceding on our behalf. But if we're really honest, it's more difficult to pray when we're busy. Or when there's, you know, everything's fine. There's nothing much of interest to give to God. How do we pray without ceasing in a life which, if we're all perfectly honest, is filled with a lot of mundane and just everyday things? You know, how often does God want to know that we're brushing our teeth, that we're washing the pots? Well, he knows, he's there, so why do we need to talk to him or communicate with him? What is prayer, and how is it distinct from just being with God? Is there a distinction on that? I would say there is, because God calls us to pray. In our gospel reading from Matthew, Jesus is in great distress and he asks his disciples to stay awake and to pray. And they fall asleep. No doubt fall asleep in a wonderful thanksgiving for God and in his presence. And, you know, God likes us to rest. But Jesus comes back and says to them, you can't even stay awake and pray. A friend of mine shared on Facebook recently, said, you know, Jesus slept on a boat. Daniel slept while lions prowled around him. God wants us to have a rest. God's happy for us to sleep. So stop what you're doing and have a rest. Which is true, by the way. God doesn't mind us resting. In fact, he actively invites us to do so. But I did have to say to her, well, except for when he's asking us to pray, at that point, he's not that happy when we sleep. Can't you stay awake an hour and pray? How do we pray without ceasing? When we live busy lives. I want to offer that maybe during Lent, you take up the discipline of, as you start each new activity, you invite God to be there, to welcome him into that situation. Because prayer is not just a one-way communication of us speaking up to God, but God, because he intercedes for us, talks back, that Jesus comes and tells us what God is saying to us, that we can hear what God is saying. And so, what might it be like to invite God to speak into all of those mundane situations, to take those opportunities to speak to us? As you sit down to watch a TV program, why not invite God? God, come and sit with me as I watch this TV program. Invite him to be able to speak, even if you don't like people interrupting you as you watch a TV program. Invite God to sit there and to tell you which bits he likes which bits he enjoys, which bits trouble him. Maybe as you start a journey to invite God to sit with you, to be able to speak at his leisure to you. On Thursday, due to change in diary situation, I found myself heading towards the cinema on my own. I hadn't done it for a long time. And as I was driving to the city centre, I was, as usual, I don't know about you, but when I find myself on my own, I tend to plan things, usually sermons. I'm going through sermons in my head. I'm thinking about, you know, difficult conversations and maybe practicing those. And I found myself, as I was driving in, going through, I think, a sermon. And it was like God just jumped in and just went, "Hey, I'm here." I suddenly just was like, "What am I doing? God's with me. I'm just sat in silence. I'm ignoring him." So I started, just took that opportunity just to talk to God. Found myself, interestingly, just as a side point, talking to him as Sarah used to talk to me when she was sat in the passenger seat, which was basically just narrating her life. I found it really irritating. But with God, I just wanted to be in a conversation with God. So I was like, as I was driving through, going, "Oh, that person looks upset. I wonder what's going on with him. Oh, I hope, be with him, God. Would you bless him?" And, you know, that sort of stuff. And as I was just saying what I saw and what I was feeling. And I was speaking it out loud, just in prayer. And when I got to the cinema, I suddenly went, "Hey, God can sit with me in the cinema. Brilliant." So I bought one ticket. I snuck him in. They didn't know. But I bought a ticket deliberately with a spare seat next to me. I really prayed. I said to God, "Don't let someone come and sit on you. Please don't let someone come and sit on you." And we sat there together at the beginning of the film. And I took a selfie. But apart from that, I chatted to him. Talked about how excited I was about the movie. And some movies were coming up. And I was like, "Oh, maybe we could go and see that together. Oh, that would be great." Now, at this point, because I was in public, I didn't say it out loud. But I was praying quietly. And during the film, I was, you know, there were moments when things struck me and I felt emotional and I was like, "Oh, God's here with me." So I just shared it with him and just went, "Oh, God, I'm feeling upset about that. Why am I feeling upset about that?" Or there was a bit in the film that troubled me and made me a bit confused. And I went, "Oh, God, why is this confusing me and upsetting me? Oh, help me in that, please." It was brilliant. I had a great time with God on our date. Maybe during this Lent, you want to invite God into it. It doesn't need to be an ongoing conversation, but it is about allowing God to speak into those moments. As I sat there in the cinema, things from the movie were suddenly striking me as important, and like God was speaking through it. You know, like God was nudging me, going, "You need to listen to this bit." I was like, "All right, calm down." So maybe during this Lent, to grow in this praying without ceasing, intentionally and deliberately invite God into those situations. Because that is what prayer is. Inviting God to be in your situation, or if we are interceding on behalf of others, that God will be in the situation of others. Because that is my basic prayer. If someone asks me to pray for something really complicated, all I say to God is, "God, be in this situation with this person. I invite you in. You are welcome in this situation. Speak." It's a very simple prayer. God, be welcomed into this situation. So maybe during Lent, we might encourage one another to grow in this praying without ceasing by just inviting God into our everyday mundane life. We're going to move into a time of prayer ministry now. What I really want to invite you to do is to name before God those times when you are far too busy to remember to invite and welcome him into a situation. For parents, maybe it's the school drop-off. The last time you think, "Oh, I've got to invite God into this," it's really difficult because you're busy. Or indeed, with anything around children, when they're just running around, doing a whole load of stuff, the last thing you want to do is have a conversation with God. But just sometimes, you need to invite him in.
Name it before God. He knows you're busy. He knows your mind is all over the place. But ask him to help you, as Jesus is your intercessor, to come and be welcomed into those situations. Or maybe there is a difficult or painful situation for you at the moment, which you need God to be involved in. Maybe you want to try and welcome him into those situations. But this is the second thing I want to ask that you might want to do during this time, is to intercede for others. There will be prayer ministry available just off to the side here, just over there. If it gets too noisy, feel free to go into the chapel. There are people there who want to intercede on your behalf, even if it is just simply being able to have the courage to step before God and invite him into a situation that you find it too difficult or too ashamed to ask. Just allow them to pray on your behalf. Or maybe there are people next to you that you would like to intercede for you, to help you to invite God into a situation. I encourage you to do that, to pray for one another and to pray for yourselves.